Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Debbie Rowley.
You are listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do twice a week for people who play with needle and thread.
Okay, I like that.
Okay. Now, yeah. a little promo for Sunday's thing up front here. Sunday, our guests are Morgan Fowles, who is a trustee, and Emma Dogert, I think I have that last name right, who is head of marketing at the Royal School of Needlework.
Yay!
Yes.
So excited.
It was so much fun talking to them. And this time we went through just all the things, how they got started, what it is, how it functions, all the things they offer. And then the plan is, and I'm pretty sure it'll come together, that in subsequent months, we'll have different people from the school to talk about what they do.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Oh, wonderful.
So, yeah, it was really terrific to talk to them. And, so that was fun. The cool thing is, on top of that, another cool thing, and as they said, the Royal School never discounts anything. We will have in the show a discount code so you can get 10% off of their online courses.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was a real plus. So and it's just through the end of April. So you got to act quick. But we'll have that in the show. So and just so much fun to talk to them. And
So I have a question for you.
Okay.
Are they surprised by the level of interest in the Royal School from Americans?
Oh, I don't think they're surprised at all.
Okay.
No. Because
you know, that would be kind of, why are you interested in this? Like, you're not going to come over here and take a class, are you?
No. Well, they have two, was it Williamsburg?
Yes, Williamsburg.
And then in Kentucky. And that Kentucky one, they said, sold out pronto last year. And so they're doing it this year, and they expect it again. No, I don't think they're surprised at all. They know full well. They know full well.
I've thought about going to Williamsburg, but it's right in the middle of the summer when I'm doing the Needle Arts Mystery Retreat.
Oh.
So one of them's got to go. Well, since I'm getting paid to do the mystery retreat instead of paying to go take a class, there's not much choice.
Right. Yep. Well, they're getting this the online thing ramped up. So
wonderful.
There's an opportunity for you right there.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Good. Online I can do.
Yep. So 10% off. There'll be a code and a link and everything on with the Sunday show. So that's pretty exciting. Plus just talking to him about the Royal School and all the things it does. And of course, we ran out of time. I mean, I could have gone on for two more hours, but.
Yes. How many hundreds of years of history does the Royal School have? I mean,
Well, and not to mention all the things they do. I mean, it's incredible. All the, you know, the classes, but the classes are just one portion.
Right. I mean, because you can get a whole degree from the Royal School, and they do bespoke pieces, and, you know, they embroidered Kate Middleton's wedding gown. And I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So no lack of things to pay attention to there.
Right.
So anyway, so that's Sunday. That's going to be exciting. So watch for that and take advantage of that that online course discount, because that 10% off, that's a nice little savings there for that.
Yep.
So, yes. And in general, I can't keep up. People respond, likes and comments to all the shows, and I really appreciate it. And believe me, I read them all. But to sit down for 2 or 3 hours and respond, you know, don't take it personally. I just can't get to them all. So I throw in a few here and there, but really appreciate the really rapid growth we've had, particularly in the last couple months with Fiber Talk listeners. So really appreciate that from everyone, and people commenting and liking, but mainly just listening. Really appreciated. So it's been really, really exciting to watch those numbers go up. And for those who don't know, you can go to wetalkfiber.com. And listen there. Each podcast has its own page, so you can listen there. And if you go to the bottom of each page, there's a short form, your name and your email address, and that puts you on the subscriber list. And when you do that, that means every time I post something on the website, you'll get an email saying, here's what's new, and here's a link. But then I always say to people, if you're going to listen to podcasts, the easiest way is to whip out your phone and go to the podcast app. And if you don't have one, Stitcher, Podbean, there's a whole bunch of them. And just subscribe to Fiber Talk there. Just do a search for Fiber Talk. It'll come up. You'll recognize the logo. Hit subscribe. And then that each new podcast gets put into your phone or your tablet or whatever. And you download it right to your phone. And then you can listen. And I highly recommend that you make sure it downloads to your phone or your tablet or whatever you're using to listen to. Then you don't have to have Wi-Fi and you don't have to stream. It's in your phone. You can listen. Then you can listen in the car. You can listen when you're out walking the dog, jogging, whatever it is you do. And you don't
while
care.
You're stitching, possibly.
That would be another option. Yes. Yes. That would be an option. So it's just really easy to do that with podcasts, and it's right there in your device, and you don't have to do anything other than listen to it. So.
Yeah. That's how I listen to it mostly. Is especially if I'm in the car for a long period of time, I run my phone through my Bluetooth into my car speakers, and it just plays one right after the other. I don't have to do anything.
Yep. Put it on autoplay and let them go. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So thanks to everybody. Really appreciate the support. Thanks for spreading the word. All the likes and shares and everything, because it is really making a difference. It's really fun. Debbie, what do we got new? You teaching all over the place.
Yes. Well, I'm working on new things. I always am working on new things. And the current thing that I'm working, that I'm stitching, is a piece that has a lot of fans in it. I'm calling it Fantasia. It does not have any double fan doubles in it.
Oh, then I'm not doing it.
Or double fan. So these are a different kind of fan.
Uh-oh.
But it's yellow, orange, purple, and hot pink on black canvas. So.
Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. Whoa, I bet that glows.
Yeah, the threads are really pretty, but I absolutely hate stitching on black canvas. But when I went to the shop and I pulled all the threads that I thought I was going to use for this design, and we laid them out. We tried them on the eggshell. Nah. We tried them on white. Nah. We tried them on sage green and French blue and pewter gray and all that. And I said, okay, we'll put them on the black. And the colors just sang when they were on the black canvas. So I have no choice. I have to stitch it on black. But it's a real chore because I don't see the holes as well. And, yes, I know all of the tricks. Okay, so no need to tell me, oh, put something white on your black. I know all of that, okay? It still is just an effort. But it's coming along nicely. I like the way it's looking. And let's see. I am writing instructions for four different classes. The models are all stitched. The classes are booked. And now I need to write the instructions. I'm putting kits together for the next classes that I'm teaching. I just started a cyber class with Shining Needle Society. So I'm writing lessons for that.
What design is that?
It's angles.
Oh. That's one of my favorites right there.
Well, it is very striking.
And you nailed that one. I think you nailed that one. I really like that one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people really like the color scheme, the grays with black and red as an accent color. But I've got a fair number of students that are changing out the accent color to use a color that they like better, which is fine with me. I absolutely encourage them to do that, and I love to see the results when they've changed out the colors. Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, that it's always fun to get a new cyber class going and emails with the students and things like that. That's always, I try to make it so that they don't ever have to email me if they have a question. I try to write the instructions so that they don't need me at all, because it's all there. And then there's videos of some of the more challenging stitches that they can watch as much as they need to. And so my goal is to not hear from anybody unless it's, oh, look what I'm doing in this pretty picture. Oh, yes, I love to see that.
Right. Yeah, you'll take that. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And now, folks, when you watch Debbie's videos, be sure and check out the manicure.
Yep. Well, see, now, the videos for my classes are unlisted.
Oh, okay. So, if you're in the class, you know, check out the manicure.
Yeah, if you're in the class, check out the manicure. And, because, you know, my manicurist is always grateful for the feedback on whether or not my nails look nice. So, anyway.
She needs a little tiny logo that she can put in the corner of your nail. You know? Self-promo.
Yeah.
That would be good. You could charge her.
I could. I don't know that she'd go for that, but yeah. Whatever.
They'd have to go to Arkansas anyway, so never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great. She's worth the trip. I'm already thinking when I move, I wonder if I could schedule once a month to come back to Conway to see my hairdresser, my manicurist, my massage therapist.
Oh, good. Yeah. I have a business expense.
Schedule them all at once.
I have a business expense. It's a round trip airfare to get my hair done. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
My nails.
All right. Yeah. Let me see you pull that off with the IRS. Yep.
Yeah. No, they don't care.
Yeah. Okay. So new designs coming up now. Pilot classes. I'm doing two pilot classes, one in a couple of weeks with Curtie Biggs. Mm-hmm. And then you're doing one with the Fox chapter in July.
Right.
Now, these will be my first two ever pilot classes.
Okay.
All right. Like, I mean, I've heard the stories, I've heard the things, but this is the first time I will actually sit in the pilot class.
Okay.
So tell me. What's a pilot class compared to a regular class? What am I going to experience? Because Curtie Biggs is doing a 4-day class in 3 days. So that seems cruel. But, and then I don't know, yours is 2 days? Yeah, 2 days.
Yeah, it's a 2-day.
Right.
Okay.
So tell me about that.
Here's the concept of why a teacher would want to do a pilot class. It gives you a chance to run other eyes over your instructions before you teach them at seminar. It gives you an opportunity to, oh, there's a mistake, correct the mistake. The teacher can also figure out, okay, I've allotted 15 minutes to do this stitch, but really the class needs 45 minutes to do this stitch, or I thought this one would take 30, it only took 10. And so it helps them with the pacing of their class when they're at seminar. So the teacher is expecting feedback, a lot of feedback from the students. And so the students are undertaking a responsibility to provide that feedback to the teacher so that they can refine their, how they're teaching it, to clarify anything that needs to be clarified, to tighten up their instructions, all of that kind of thing. And so a student who's taking a pilot class is really undertaking to stitch the whole project. Not in class.
Oh, that's going
to
kill me, Debbie. It's going to kill me.
Not in class, but the teacher needs to know, okay, I allowed one reel of this Krennic, but they really needed two. Or I allowed one skein of DMC this color and they really needed two or three. And so, you know, there's a responsibility to provide feedback to the teacher. Now, a lot of students, sometimes when they take a class, they think, oh, well, I can't. And I've had students to tell me this. I could never ask a question.
Mm.
And that is not the purpose of a pilot class. Because the students are helping the teacher so much with the class, usually there is no teaching fee associated with the class.
Mm-hmm.
So the hosting organization, you know, all the students will buy the kit. And usually the hosting organization pays the travel expenses and lodging and food while the teacher is there, but there's no teaching fee associated. So this saves the students some money because usually a teaching fee is anywhere from $350 to $450 a day. And that's spread out over all of the students in the class.
Plus travel expenses.
Yeah. Plus travel expenses, plus lodging and blah, blah, blah. And it goes on and on. And so it can be you know, a regular class can be really expensive. Hosting a pilot class, you're going to save some money, but then there is an associated responsibility to provide the feedback to the teacher.
Okay, and this is I'm just stating the obvious. During the class, but also after, like a few days later, if I find something, then I need to let you know.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And now EGA, National Seminar, requires that every class taught at EGA National Seminar has been piloted.
Oh, I didn't know that was a requirement. Oh,
yes,
so
that's a requirement. Oh, okay. ANG does not require it, but it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would think, if you're going to teach at seminar, I would think that just for your own comfort level to have gone through this at least once is a real plus. Yes.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And, you know, mostly to help with the pacing of the class and to make sure the instructions are as good as they can be. And you know, but like angles, I've taught angles 6 times in face-to-face classes, and every time we have found something that needed to be corrected every time.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, and I've had people tell me, well, you know, you need to have your proofreader or your test stitchers or whatever. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I am the proofreader. I am the test stitcher. I do not have a staff to do anything. It's me. And so, just having other people look over the instructions is a big help. It's a tremendous help. You know, catch misspellings, or you said to use this color here, but the model, it looks like it's this color. Oh, yeah, you're right. So let me fix that. That kind of thing.
Well, that's just, you know, you need to have your proofreader. Just a gauge for people. In the magazines, there are 4 primary steps before ink gets put on paper. And in the magazine business, there is a minimum of 2 sets of eyes that goes over every word in each of those steps, a minimum, usually 3 if we can do it. And errors still show up.
Yes.
So, you know, proofreading, right. We work that thing. By the time that magazine goes to printer, I'm so sick of looking at it, I could scream. But, you know.
Exactly.
But still, you know, we'll open that sucker up. Oh, we left a period off there. How could we possibly miss that?
And it just is like a red neon light shining right in your face. How did I miss that? And it happens, you know, especially for those of us who, designer teachers, who I've created the design, I stitched the model, I wrote the instructions. And, you know, when you look at the same thing so many times, a lot of times you see what you think you're seeing, but not what's actually there. And so, you know, mistakes do crop up, hopefully not egregious mistakes, but mistakes do crop up. And so a pilot class helps to weed some of that stuff out. I guarantee you that even though both of the classes I'm teaching for ANG National Seminar this year will be piloted, and I expect a lot of feedback and all this other kind of stuff, I guarantee you, when I'm teaching at seminar, someone's going to say, you misspelled this, or this doesn't look right, or you got the numbers wrong here. I guarantee it.
Well, you're your own worst proofreader, number one.
Yes.
You only look at it so many times, and then it's just, you're just glazing over it. So, with needlework instructions like that, with all the numbers and your diagrams and stuff, there's just a limit to how much you can catch. It's a physical limit. Yeah,
exactly. And you know, you look at the same diagram, like the class that I'm teaching this weekend, I wrote the instructions and did stitch the model, wrote the instructions, all the diagrams, blah, 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 came to do the videos to use in class, and stitched this one particular stitch the way I had diagrammed it. And as I was thinking about it afterward, I was thinking, I think I did that wrong. And so had to go back, redo the diagram, redo the video, because I want it to be correct. And so, So pilot classes help with some of that stuff. And I was going to also say, if there are people who are members of a very small chapter, like me, there are 5 active members in my local chapter.
That would be small.
We cannot afford to bring in a teacher, if we pay all of the travel expenses and the daily teaching fee and the kit fees and the lodging and the food, blah, blah. But if we can pilot for somebody, then part of that, the teaching fee is waived. And so it makes it more feasible for a small chapter to bring somebody in. And actually, you know, a pilot class, an ideal pilot class is 6 to 10 people.
Yep. I was just going to say, I bet your local chapter is really ideal for a pilot class.
Yeah, because we've got a wide variety of level, from rank basic beginners who have not done very much Canvas work at all to me. And so, you know, and this is something that all teachers run into. We say what the stitching level is for the class.
Mm-hmm.
We have no control over who signs up for the class. There's no test to say, oh, well, no, you're not an advanced stitcher. You're a beginner stitcher. There's no test. And so who is in the class is who we teach.
Yep.
Regardless of their level of ability. And so a pilot class that has some beginners, two more advanced stitchers is really good because it helps you know how to approach the ones who may not have ever used a laying tool before.
Right.
And, you know, who don't know about using pin stitches and away knots and things like that.
Yep. Yeah, we had long ago, we had a managing editor. I worked on a magazine called Research and Development Magazine. It was an international magazine for research scientists. So cutting edge everything. I mean, just you name it, cutting edge. And we had a lady who we worked with, Sandy Brown. She was our managing editor, but she was the traffic cop for all editorial. Didn't know a thing about science. You know, absolutely clueless, but a brilliant editor and a brilliant proofreader. And when Sandy came to you and said, you know, I don't understand this technology at all, but I don't think this sentence makes sense. She was almost always right, you know, and that's where your beginners are so valuable.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you know, I don't know how to use this laying tool, but boy, this instruction is not helping me.
Right. And so, you know, because we're going to have beginners in our classes, no matter if it says advanced intermediate on the class level, it doesn't matter. They see the pretty picture and that's the one they want to do.
Yep. Yep.
Well, you've got to teach them.
Yeah.
And so having beginner levels in your pilot class is a big help for that.
So basically, if your chapter has an opportunity to do a pilot class, don't run away because you haven't stitched a Debbie Rowley piece. Dig in.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because I'm always looking for chapters that will host a pilot class for me.
Mm-hmm. Valuable. Yeah.
Very valuable. Very valuable.
But now I'm going to have to finish that project. Oh, man, Debbie. Oh.
Mine is not going to be that challenging. You're going to have to finish Curdy's.
Yeah, I've seen Curdy's. Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, she needs to know how many beads to put in the kit. Did I put enough in? Did I use enough thread?
Well, just looking at the picture, we're starting at 1,000 and then going from there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that helps. Yeah, because I had a sense, but because I've done classes, and so I know what those are like, but clearly there's that now it's a true two-way street.
Yes, and the teacher is counting on the students to provide the feedback.
All right. I feel the pressure. No, it'll be fun.
Okay, well, okay, good.
I got to get Curdy's done before Debbie shows up. Oh, boy. I'll be living with these things. I'll be carrying them everywhere. Speaking of beginners, you posted today, we're recording on Tuesday. You posted today that, you know, I in all the Facebook groups, you always see, and this is, I think, something that veteran stitchers need to keep in mind, is there's always new people or maybe experienced people trying new things. and they go to these Facebook groups for help. And a lot of times, I know for veteran stitchers, it's like, really, you're asking this question again. How many times do we have to answer how many threads are in 18 count canvas? But for, you know, keep in mind that for that particular person, this is new ground and they're exactly. clueless and they need help. And you were so helpful with a lady today who wanted to know about pearl cotton. And she knew of, what was it, 5 and 8?
5 and 8.
Yeah. And you opened her world.
Well, you know, and it's a fine line. Those of us who have been in needlework for a while, I'm not going to, you know, claim that I'm an expert, but I do have some level of expertise. It's a fine line between, you know, too much information, condescending approach. I try very hard not to do that. I love stitching. I want everybody to love stitching. If you have a question about stitching, whether it's what I actually do or what somebody else does, I don't care. I'll try to answer the question because I want you to love stitching and not be frustrated with it. And so she asked about what was, she saw it at the store. I don't know if she was at Michael's, Joann's or Hobby Lobby, you know, one of the big box stores, and saw number 5 and number 8 pearl cotton and wanted to know how they were used. And I pointed out that there's number 3, number 5, number 8, number 12, and number 16 pearl cottons. And they're all different weights, and they're all used for different things. Number 3 pearl cotton is mostly used on 14 mesh or lower canvas. I don't think fabric would be strong enough to stand up to a number 3 pearl cotton.
Right. And you get that in the rope section at Ace Hardware.
Exactly. Yeah. It's pretty thick stuff. Yeah. And you need like a 18 or a 16 needle to thread number 3 pearl cotton. Number 5 pearl cotton, though, is, and it's really interesting to me. Anchor, DMC, and Presentia make pearl cotton. DMC has the most colors in number 5 pearl cotton, but not as many colors as they do with cotton floss. They have fewer colors in number 3 than they do number 5. There are even fewer colors of number 8 and even fewer colors of number 12, which, and they don't have 16 at all. I think Anchor is getting out of pearl cotton. I'm not sure. Anchor is not available locally, and so I'm not as familiar with Anchor. But then there's Presentia. And Presentia, any color that they have in any weight of pearl cotton, they have in all weights of pearl cotton.
Oh.
So if I were doing hardanger and I wanted a yellow to do my cluster blocks and a yellow, the same yellow, to do my needle weaving, well, good luck finding that in DMC. But in Presentia, they've got it, because mm-hmm. if they have the color in number 3, they have it in number 3, number 5, number 8, number 12, and number 16. And they have a lovely color range. Again, not as many colors as they do with floss, but it's a very nice pearl cotton. And, you know, DMC 3 and 5 is in a loopy skein. 8 and 12 are in balls, but all of Presentia's are in balls.
Even the 3 and 5, huh?
Even the 3 and 5.
Because I have some Presentia 8 for a project. It was probably one of your projects. Yeah, I think it is one of your projects, but I think it is 8. But anyway, yeah, that's the only one I've ever purchased of theirs. But seems like nice thread.
Oh, it's very nice. I like it. And in fact, last year at National Seminar, I did a project called Cornered that was all Presentia pearl cottons in 5, 8, 12, and 16 weights. We didn't do number 3 because we were on 18 count canvas, and number 3 is just too heavy for 18 count canvas, but it works. You know, the 5 is a little heavy for 18 count, but you can make it work.
Yeah. Is pearl cotton a kind of a foundational staple thread for you?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. I like pearl cotton, especially for my Jean Hilton type stitches like Jessica's and things like that, because it's non-divisible. So if I'm manipulating the needle under, I'm not splitting strands.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really like it for that. Plus, it is, I think, on a ball of number 8, 88 yards.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it'll go a ways.
it goes a long way. And so I really like to use it. In fact, in this Fantasia piece that I'm working on, I have 4 different colors of pearl cotton that I'm using.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's great for stitches like Amadeus's and Crescents and Jessica's and anything where you're going to manipulate the needle sliding under previous stitches. It's best to use a non-divisible thread, especially if this is your first encounter with that kind of a stitch. You know, I'm adept enough that I can do Jessica's with 2 strands of thread, no problem, because I've done it so much. But for my classes and for my students, I prefer to use a non-divisible thread like pearl cotton.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one of the things that I find that I have to be conscious of with pearl cotton is to let the needle dangle frequently, because mm-hmm. it will untwist or twist too tight. And do you have that problem, or maybe you have a tip so I don't have to do it so often?
Well, usually when I'm using pearl cotton, I'm doing really long stitches,
right?
Like Jessica's and things like that. And so I don't find that the twist is, I don't find that that is as much of an issue as I do when I'm stitching with floss. With floss, I get myself really twisted up, but with pearl cotton, not so much. But one of my stitching habits that I have that I encourage my students to learn how to do is to take the needle straight up and down through the canvas and not drag your needle across the canvas.
Yeah, I do that. But for some reason, somewhere I twist. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just the way you're holding your needle. I don't twist my needle very much, and so I think my thread doesn't twist very much. That's the only thing I can think of. And with pearl cotton as well, you have to be careful with the length that you use, because it will degrade as it goes through the canvas. For the long stitches, you know, I've got a couple of projects where one Jessica took 780 inches of thread.
Yes.
And so you're not going to stitch with 780 inches of thread. You're just not. It's for one thing, it would be hopelessly knotted up after your first stitch, if you even managed to get your first stitch in without it knotting up. So, but normally with pearl cotton, we recommend no longer than 36 inches at a time.
Yeah. Well, that's
because it does degrade, and you can see the difference, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I stopped here and now I've started a new thread, and oh my goodness, look how fuzzy it is.
Yep. The shine goes away. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yes. You got to watch that. Well, that was one of the things that with your earlier charts, you were not putting in the length needed for, say, a Jessica. And
right.
And then at some juncture, you started saying you need a piece this long.
Yes.
And that's very helpful, because I've with some of your earlier charts, I have used up a good supply.
How many more times am I going to have to rethread the needle? Yeah. Linda Rhinemiller, you know, that I teach with for the Mystery Retreat, this is one of the things that she does in her instructions. And I thought, you know, that's a really good idea, because it's not that difficult. When I'm stitching a model, I'm not writing instructions as I stitch, but I do take notes. And one of the notes that I take is how long a thread did it take to stitch this entirely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I can put that in the instructions, because it is a help to, you know, if you're doing a Jessica or a Crescent or something like that, to not have to start and stop and figure out where did I stop and where do I need to start again. And
right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. When it was interesting when Stephanie Webb was with us a few weeks ago, and she was talking about, I don't know what floss it is, I'm not even going to try to name it, that where it comes pre-cut. And how much she liked that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how much she
liked
that.
Yeah. I don't like that.
And
that's
I said,
chill art.
Right. Oh, is it? Yeah. I said, no, I don't like that. And I, you know, it was just a reflex because I don't like it. And then I thought later, why is it that I don't like it? And that it's cause needlepoint. I want to control how long of a piece I stitch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, you know, and a lot of cross stitchers, they never even think about this. They stitch with 18 inches. So that's all they stitch with.
Right.
But if I'm doing a Jessica, even a small Jessica, 18 inches is not going to cut it.
Yep.
And I want a longer length so that I don't have to start and stop in the middle.
Yeah, because, yeah, there's no way I'm not doing Jessicas unless they're really gigantic and having two threads in there. No. Yeah, I just don't think they look as good. You can't come back with another one. Yeah.
Well, it's hard with the tension, especially, you know, there's some things when you're stitching that it's better to stitch it entirely before you end the session because, you know, the tension is going to be off or
right.
whatever. You know, I'm halfway through this, but now the phone rang. And so now I'm interrupted and I've got to answer the phone. And then you come back to it and you're going, okay, where did I start and stop?
Right.
And, you know, the phone call may have agitated you a little bit. So now you're stitching with a little bit tighter tension or whatever. And you can tell that it doesn't look as good as if you can sit down and stitch the whole entire thing in one go.
Yep. If it's a happy phone call, is it looser tension?
I don't know.
Just asking the question, you know. Do we get all loose and sloppy because we had a happy phone call?
Usually the phone calls that I'm getting are, hi, it's Rachel from Card Services. And that just makes my tension go all to pieces. It's like, stop calling me.
Good old Rachel.
I bought another credit card. You can't lower my interest rate from zero.
Yep. Rachel. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Or Veronica's been calling too. And I'm sick of both of them. Don't want to talk to either one of them.
It's one lady. She's just changing her name.
Yeah. They sound exactly alike.
Yeah. She just changes their name.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay. So yeah, that was just interesting. It helped that lady, better understand pearl cotton and, yeah. Yep. It's one of my favorite threads. It really is one of my favorite threads because you can, in a way, it's mindless because it's not separable.
Yeah. Oh, and you don't have to lay it.
Right.
And that's what's so nice about it. And I know, well, like, especially like the Presentia number 16, you absolutely could stitch with that on a high count linen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's a lovely thread. And, you know, there's a lot of it on the ball. And so, yeah. But I also like Presentia because you can get a 5 gram ball or a 10 gram ball. And so if you only need a little bit, you can get a 5 gram ball and not have a big whole ball of pearl cotton. And so, yeah, I really like Presentia.
Is it pretty easy to get a hold of anymore?
There are some shops that are carrying it, but it's not like DMC. And it's been, and, you know, of course, when I call the distributor of Presentia, they can't tell me which shops have which threads. And so it's just kind of you'll see a lot of things on Facebook. Does anybody carry Presentia? And then some of the shops will respond. I know of a couple that do. And so, but I don't know if they carry all the weights of it, if they carry the pearl cotton and the floss or just the pearl cotton,
Right, right.
Because, you know, I am not up on the inventory with all of the needlework stores across
Debbie,
the country.
Debbie, what are you doing with your time?
I know. I just
You are
I
pathetic.
Just
That's just tragic. That's got to be one of the biggest frustrations for a shop, just keeping up with thread inventory.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they can't have all of them.
No.
There's no way. It would be a gigantic, it'd be like the size of Hobby Lobby if they were to have
right.
all of the colors of every thread that's available. And so, you know, they have to pick and choose what they want to carry. I wish more would carry Presentia, at least in the pearl cotton weights, especially for hardanger and pulled thread work.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there just is not the color range available in number 12 DMC. And they've got it in Presentia and beautiful, vibrant colors, pastel colors, bold colors. I mean, they've got them and I really like them. And they've even got some variegated colors.
Oh.
They're not, you know, they're more ombered, I should say. So, you know, it's all just shades of blue or shades of gray or shades of red. But you could get that
you know, you talk about DMC not having all the colors and all the sizes. That's where having one of those thread cards is so valuable if you're going to fiddle around with threads. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I couldn't tell you how many DMC thread cards I've had. I know of at least three because, of course, I had to get the brand new one that has all the new colors listed.
Mm-hmm.
And
all the cool kids have them.
Oh, all the cool kids have them, and the ones with the real threads, not printed.
That's
colors.
Right.
But DMC, I think last week was talking about introducing some new colors of pearl cotton.
No, come on! I just bought that card.
Yeah, I know. So, but I don't know if they. I don't know if it was new pearl cotton colors or if they're emphasizing existing colors in the line. I don't know.
Oh. Whatever.
Yeah, you know, there's just.
Yeah.
I especially am interested in all the colors of pearl cotton that's available because I do use it so much.
Right. Yeah, keeping up with threads is like trying to keep up with the personal computer equipment when they first started.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You're behind before you start, so just don't even try. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, somebody will say, well, what about this thread? I really like this thread and I use this thread and this is the only thread I want to use. And the shop's going, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Because there's any number of people selling threads on Etsy.
See, that's not a place
now,
I go.
I don't go there either. And I can't use those threads because, A, I'm not buying threads at retail to put in my kits.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's just not cost effective to do that. And B, I can't go look at the threads.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have my local shop where I can go look at the threads, or I can get color cards like from Rainbow Gallery that have the actual, like if I wanted a color card of all the neon rays, I could get that from Rainbow Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's really beneficial. That way I don't have to have every color of, you know, on a full size card. I can just have the samples. And that's enough for me to determine, okay, yeah, I want this color and I want that color. And then I can contact Rainbow Gallery and get it.
Yeah.
Or go to my local shop and say, do you have these colors? Or, you know, if I've got the color cards, then I can order online with confidence.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That, and that's where having the actual threads, yeah, is so valuable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing about the DMC thread card, I think that every serious stitcher should have one. And here's why. If you wanted, let's say I was doing a project and I wanted to some blues and I wanted them to closely match DMC 798, I could call a shop and say, do you have a Weeks Dye Works or a Gentle Arts or a Neon Rays or a Krynek Metallic that will closely match DMC 798? Because all the shops have the DMC cards too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives us a point of reference that we can share that where they can put together threads for you.
Yep.
And I do this quite frequently. Now, this is a resource that regular stitchers don't have. And so, you know, I'm kind of reluctant to talk about it. But I can call Sally at Rainbow Gallery and say, I'm working on a project that uses these DMC colors. Could you send me every texture of Rainbow Gallery threads that you think would go with that? And pretty soon I'll get this package in the mail that'll have neon rays and treasure braid and silk lame braid and fireworks and frosty rays in those colors because she uses that as a reference point too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But that's where you're having that local needlework shop can help you too.
Exactly.
Same thing.
A lot of people don't have a local shop.
I know.
But if you have a color card, you can order online with confidence or you can call any shop that you choose and say, I'm looking for a shiny metallic thread that will closely go with this DMC color, and they'll say, oh, well, we've got this Krynek, that Krynek, this Rainbow Gallery treasure braid, blah, blah. And you can, and then they can send them to you.
Yeah. And you know, what shows up is going to work. Yep.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Do do just about everybody who produces threads of at least a decent line of threads, can you get a thread, actual thread color card, or is that not always the case?
No, not always the case, okay. Unfortunately.
All right. Figured that.
Yeah. You know, someone is at, there's a distributor called Access Commodities, and they distribute threads like Accentuate and I think Swap Perlay and some other things like that. And I used to ask them at trade shows, do you have a color card? Nope. Are they pictured on your website? Nope. It sounds like, how in the heck am I supposed to know what colors these are?
Yep.
And so I've never used them in my designs because I have no way of looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know, like Trinway Silks, they have all of their threads pictured on their website, and they're pretty true to color, you know, at least on my monitor they are, but I don't think Trinway has like a color card per se, like DMC's color card. Anchor does, Presentia does, and Rainbow Gallery has several of theirs that you can get an actual with the actual threads on the card so that you know exactly what color it is. Krynek does.
Yeah, I had a DMC one that was just the printed colors of, and no, just not the same.
You can't really tell. It's really not the same. And, you know, I think from their website, you can buy a color card.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. When they're in stock, and that's just it.
Yeah. Well, see, everybody wants one.
Right. But see, that's the thing. The
new one with the white cover, because that has their new colors in
right,
it.
Right. Because that's just it. When you get the real threads, then you can see how light reflects off of them, and you can't off of a picture. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
And that's why you need it as a reference tool.
Yeah. All right. That's going to be it.
Oh, are we done?
That's it. That's all we got. I mean, we got more, but time.
Yeah.
Sunday, as I mentioned, Morgan Fowles, who is a trustee, and Emma Dogert, who is the head of marketing, Royal School of Needlework. Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun with those two.
I look forward to listening to that.
Yeah, just hearing about the school, and yeah, it just was one of those. I was actually frustrated because we just couldn't get it all in.
Yeah, so, you barely scratched the surface, and oh my gosh, it's an hour and a half.
We didn't go that long, but I tell you, could have easily done that. Yeah, and then be a code. So 10% off of the online courses that the Royal School offers. And so you'll want to take advantage of that. And it's just a short time now, just through April. So you'll want to act on that. And I'll have links on the page on the website. And we mentioned them in the podcast, but definitely we'll have the links. So you want to take advantage of that, especially if you want to try a different technique that, you know, I don't know if I can do it. Well, yeah, try it that way. And so that's Sunday. That's going to be great. Debbie, thank you.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Now I have to get geared up for my pilot classes.
Exactly.
Pressure is on.
Get your fingers limbered up.
Pressure is on. All right. Thanks, Debbie. Thanks, everybody, for listening.